You're listening to the ISACA podcast. In this Cyber Pros Exchange series episode, we're speaking with Frank Downs, director and subject matter expert of ISACA's cybersecurity practice, and Dustin Brewer, manager and cybersecurity product platform developer. So Frank and Dustin have been attending a lot of conferences in the past few weeks, and they've gained a lot from them. In this episode, we're talking a little bit about why cybersecurity professionals really should leverage conferences and how they can make the most of their conference experience. So to begin, can you tell us a little bit about why people should go to conferences, some of the cybersecurity conferences that are out there, and how cybersecurity conferences might vary from other conferences?
Conferences in the field of cybersecurity are both very similar and very different from how conferences are presented in the rest of professional, I guess, work roles and work fields, right? Which is a weird thing to say because you'd think that a conference is a conference is a conference, but that's not always the case, right? A lot of conferences, depending on what kind of conference you're going to, has a different goal in mind. So cybersecurity ones are kind of specific and kind of unique for a lot of reasons that, you know, to sound redundant there, are unique to the field. One, taking into consideration that cybersecurity is still a relatively young field, and two, you have a lot of fields that are adjacent to cybersecurity that are coming together to merge with it, and not all of them seem to get along. But three, since you have those two elements together, they become these really kind of valuable experiences, because in a youngish field, you need a place where you can meet, connect, network, and learn. And these conferences really present that opportunity. At the same time, though, these conferences have different groups, I would say, different types of people that come to them from multiple parts of the spectrum. We're going to talk about a couple of these and so forth, like which ones are most valuable, where we find the value in them and so forth, because there, as a result, have become multiple types of cybersecurity conferences out there that have, you know, you have the professional one, you have the true believer one, you have all these different levels of cybersecurity based on interest. That isn't necessarily, you know, okay, I haven't been into many other professional fields, but seems a bit different than what you would see in other fields. What do you think, Dustin?
Yeah, absolutely. Totally agree with you. Talking to other professionals from other fields and explaining to them, of course, one of the most technical cybersecurity conferences that we have is, of course, DEF CON. And explaining DEF CON to somebody from another field is, I mean, it's just like, it's out there, right? It's like, oh, wait, so you just went to go to a party in Las Vegas where you basically got to hack anything you wanted and, you know, they had all these different things set up. And to me, it sounds more like a carnival, right, than it does a conference. At the same time, we are learning, right? We are actually out there doing things. DEF CON and Black Hat definitely have their places within our field.
I love that idea, that whole cyber carnival idea. That fits perfectly for something.
Right. Like yeah, it's a cyber carnival, right? That's what we're doing. And a lot of people do see both of those conferences can be perceived as a bit of a boondoggle just because it's in Las Vegas, right? But I will say that for the most part, I stayed up pretty late while I was there. However, not to party. I stayed up late trying to solve a particular hack or a puzzle or something along those lines. So, but it's a great place. And of course, you know, we all like to go to conferences and there are many different reasons to go. I think two of the biggest ones, though, in my mind, obviously we think about CPEs, right? You know, we need to keep those certs up. We need to make sure that we are indeed continuing our professional education. We are actually talking about new ideas, new subjects, and we're learning. Cybersecurity is not a field where you go and you get your bachelor's degree and that's it. It's not. We need these conferences in order to learn new things and keep these ideas going. The second reason, obviously, is, again, this is just one man's opinion here, but the second reason is networking. You meet so many interesting people from so many different facets of cybersecurity within these conferences. ISACA's CSX conference is great. InfoSec is great. We meet a lot of different people who come from different areas within the cybersecurity field, which, again, is vast. I mean, there's just so much going on within cybersecurity. You can have a technical guy meet social media guy. You can have a person who works in the SOC meet somebody who actually designs firewalls. And, you know, it's just getting these groups together. It's just kind of an amazing thing to see and amazing thing to experience as well.
And I really like that part, specifically the networking element, because while we all value networking and so forth throughout, no matter what career field you're in, I'm sure that if they did some kind of sociological study on the types of people who are in the field of cybersecurity, you're not going to get very many extroverts, right? A lot of it is filled up with certain levels of introverts that don't necessarily put themselves out there to do any kind of networking. I think ISACA is a rare example of what things can be in this field, where we have chapters with members and they get together and have discussions, right? And I think that's one of the real inherent valuable parts of ISACA, more than a lot of people would probably think. However, in the rest of the field, there's not much of that, right? So having these conferences, having these times to get together, and having justification to do it besides meeting people is a great intrinsic value of it. Because I love the example you used, right? If you're talking about meeting the people who like made the firewall, right? Maybe they made the firewall that you make rules for, or you find someone else who's making rules for firewalls and so forth that you're working with. You're getting this level of, I guess, background information and learning that isn't just stuff that's in the book. I think that not just from that, I mean, because you have the learning courses as well, but you have those discussions that give you kind of context around it. And you build out a network that, hey, maybe you do have a problem with it down the road, and you can reach out and say, hey, we talked at Black Hat or DEF CON or RSA, and we were talking about this. Hey, have you ever seen anything weird like this? Have you experienced an issue with the firewall, or have you ever seen a system act like this? And so having that those connections, especially when you consider that a lot of these people, you know, from time to time are more introverted and hesitant to reach out, I think it's pretty great.
Yeah, absolutely. And you actually see the community, the cybersecurity community, evolving. And I think we've mentioned this in previous podcasts, where you get hacked. It used to be a secret. Now it can't be a secret anymore, right? It's got, especially if you're a publicly traded company, if you have user information, it can't be a secret anymore. It has to be something that's public. In that, we see this this community coming together and saying, hey, you know, we met at this conference last year. We both had the same firewall. I got hacked. Here's what happened. Here's how we, you know, here's how we eventually mitigated the attack. So we're actually seeing these conferences and these meetups and chapter-based organizations that are getting together and sharing information at a much faster rate in order to mitigate cybersecurity attacks.
And a lot of people might be working at organizations that have limited professional development budgets. And Dustin, for example, you talked about how DEF CON is a very technical conference. Can you tell us a little bit about some of the considerations that people can make when they're determining which one or two conferences they can attend in any given year?
DEF CON is definitely the least expensive. I think this year it was $300 to get in.
It's the best value in town.
Right. The issue, of course, is that it's in Las Vegas. So everything, it's on the Strip. So everything is super expensive. But if you book ahead of time, then you can lessen the cost a little bit. Now, DEF CON is one of the more technical conferences. I will put a caveat on that. I sat next to a couple of people. I was in the IoT hacking village for quite a bit of my time at DEF CON. And I sat next to a journalist who was there, and it was the first time he had ever seen a Linux computer, let alone understood what IoT was and, you know, how to, you know, how people are hacking it. And he was actually hacking into IoT boxes after sitting there for a couple hours learning from the community around him. So it is technical, but it's not something to be daunted by. Like, this is something that, again, this is the community coming together. You can ask people for help. You can, you know, meet new people. And I think that's a big part of it. So for somebody who's in cybersecurity and they might, you know, you might hear a lot of people be like, well, that doesn't really help us out because we're a blue team. Well, they actually have a blue team village there as well. They're sitting there and actually have kind of a mock security operations center, and they're actually trying to mitigate an attack. So it's kind of got something for everybody. There's a social engineering village there as well. That's not, it depends on where you're at in your professional path. Don't always want to have to go, and if you sit in a security operations center every single day, you probably don't want to go to a conference where you're going to be sitting in a mock security operations center. Right. It's just, I mean, maybe you do. Maybe you love it that much and you just want to go and see, you know, whatever else is working on. That's totally fine too. But there are other areas to explore, and just depending on where your current path is leading you, DEF CON might not be for you. It might be something like CSX, or it might be something like InfoSec or RSA. You know, if you're trying to move to maybe not less technical, but maybe more on the managerial side, or more, you know, learning a little bit more of the business side of cybersecurity, then there are other conferences out there that might be for you. Frank, do you have anything to say about that?
Yeah, if you're looking, I definitely think that no matter who you are or where you are in the field of cybersecurity, DEF CON is going to be the best value for you, because that's where the true believers are. Whether you're a manager and you're looking for someone, or you're a manager who's trying to make sure they stay relevant, there are some managerial courses at DEF CON, but the best examples I've seen for technical hands-on engagement at the level for the practitioner is at DEF CON. So you've got pretty much everything you can use. And what was it this year? $300? I think the biggest problem you're going to have, besides, you know, lodging and stuff, is getting your work to approve something that has to be paid for in cash, because they do
right.
payments in cash for getting in. That's not to, you know, eschew the other options as well. RSA is great if you're in it for business, right? And you can still do a little bit of hands-on technical learning there, but it is the business conference. If you want to do business and you want to do it in cyber, you want to go to RSA. Black Hat is a bit more similar in that. It used to, you know, a lot of people view it still as technical, but I'd argue it's not quite as technical as DEF CON. And of course, naturally, I would say the ISOCA CSX conferences are a great blend of the two. It's one of the reasons I like them so much, right? Because we do have a lot of technical workshops on the front and the back end of them, but we also have good conference material there as well with talks and an expo floor and all the other elements. Plus, we have the best catering of any of those conferences. So, you know, there's always that to consider. Also, it's the most competitively priced, too. Some of these conferences are getting pretty up there, pretty surprisingly expensive. Let me put it that way, especially when you have, from my perspective, things like DEF CON, really value added and at a reasonable price. But they all have their values. They all have their important elements that are specific to them.
And again, it really just depends on your where you're at in your professional career, where you're at with cybersecurity. DEF CON is definitely a great starting place, so I'll say that.
The timing of this conversation is really interesting because I just got back from a conference about podcasts.
No kidding. That's awesome. How was it?
It was really great, but here's my problem now. There are 100,000 things I learned and I want to implement, and that's just not realistic. So what are your strategies for determining what you should bring back to your organization and how to figure out what you want to implement without overwhelming things and rebuilding everything from scratch?
This is something that I've actually been struggling with a little bit. Since I've come back from DEF CON, I've almost been describing it as somewhat of an emotional hangover, where it's like you get back and you're like, you know, you're around all these like-minded people and you're hacking and you're learning all these really cool technical things, and then you have to go back to your job. The great thing, of course, with the job that we do here at ISOC is we get to kind of create some training. So there's a lot we can bring back from these conferences. And I think part of it for us has just been understanding that not every day can be DEF CON, not every day can be Black Hat, not every day can be a conference where, you know, you're around all these people and you're learning all these things and you learn so much. So what do you bring back to your organization, or how do you implement these things that you learn in all these conferences into your organization, where of course you have boundaries? There are, you know, business things to consider. There are money things to consider. You can't just go and be like, hey, I saw this really great, you know, new utility at RSA. I mean, we need to put it into, you know, our infrastructure right now. It's, you know, your infrastructure guy's going to be like, no, let's sit down. This is going to take months to plan out, you know, and you come back, you know, you're hyped up and you're ready. And that's kind of part of a conference as well, right? Is to kind of get your batteries recharged a little bit. So personally, what I did for this last go around is, you know, understanding that it's a fire hose, right? You're going to be learning so much so quickly. Implementing the things that you do learn on a small basis at first, you know, do the things that you can do. Implement the new strategies and the new technologies and the new TTPs that you learned at your conference. Do the things that you can do first. And then, you know, as things start progressing, if these tactics start working and if these new utilities or new tools in your toolbox start working, maybe you have a little bit more momentum with management to say, hey, look, I learned this at this conference. We implemented it on a small level and it's working really well. Let's talk about actually getting this into practice.
I agree 100% on. You're going to learn a lot. I'd also note that they're all good ideas, right? And it can be frustrating, but the slow integration and figuring out a plan to get them put into your organization and placed in the correct way, I think that more than anything else is going to be most helpful. And, you know, just to reinforce, it can be stressful. The amount of times I've seen people come from our training or from other training and they just want to, you know, flip the table over, right? And say, no, we got to do it this way. We've got to change this way. I just learned it like this and so forth. You want to nurture that, right? Because you want the good ideas to be there. You just want to make sure they get implemented in the right way.
And so you touched on how the culture and enthusiasm for cybersecurity at conferences can be really motivational. So what can cybersecurity professionals do to keep that enthusiasm up when they get back to work and, you know, the day-to-day mundane tasks kind of begin to start weighing them down?
I think it's great because you don't want to lose that. I love the way you put it in a very PC way there. Whereas, like, there are a lot of other things that happen at work that can be really draining on the excitement that I just received and the camaraderie, right? Because there are a lot of, let's be honest, there's a lot of people and things at work that don't do anything in your sphere and are not impacted with it, right? So it can be difficult, but one of the things that I found that helps keep the excitement up is when you're there, maintain those connections. So one, you find people online, you know, the LinkedIn connection. The one that I think I found that has been most encouraging is there's a couple subreddits that I subscribe to as a result. And these are people who maybe went to the same event or at least in the same field and so forth. And, you know, this is not an official ISACA endorsement of Reddit. I cannot stress that enough. But there's a couple other online posting groups where they do have similar interest groups where there's always someone, something, someone talking about something that relates to it and so forth. So you can keep the interest level there because you're never going to feel that endorphin high that you get at the conferences where everyone, it's like you look around, you're like, these people get it. They know what's going on, right? And then you go back to your office and you look around and you're like, you guys just don't know. You know, you want to find that middle ground. So I think that's one way of doing it, staying connected online and through other things and finding, you know, those posting groups. What do you think, Dustin?
Yeah, 100% agree. I think it's really important, again, to keep those connections going, to keep your own momentum going. I think, you know, if you can, try to bring some of that enthusiasm for what you do back with you. Enthusiasm is definitely contagious. Most emotions are pretty contagious. If everybody's
That's
miserable.
That's true. Most of them are contagious, good and bad.
Right. Morale, you know, the
we're only focusing on the good for this one, though. Yeah, we want to say.
The beatings will continue until morale improves, right? That's one of my favorite ones. But positive emotions are as well. And, you know, if you come back and you're recharged and you're like, okay, yeah, we're going to do this. I think, you know, and it, don't get me wrong, I understand it's a challenge. I understand it's going to be a challenge and that you are all of a sudden back in the grind of it. You know, you've been going a million miles per minute and now all of a sudden you hit a brick wall, basically. And I think doing whatever it is that you can to try to bring the spirit of the conference that you just went to back with you, I think that's a huge thing. I think it's and it's not an easy thing. It's not an easy task and not everybody can do it, but at least try.
And finally, is there anything else you'd like to add?
Yeah, like everything else in life, you get out of it what you put in. And I know that's like the biggest cliche in the book, I understand, but it's true. The more you participate in something, anecdotally, we were working really hard on solving this one puzzle or this one hack at DEF CON. It was myself and another member of the ISACA team. And we just kind of were, you know, banging our heads against the wall on this for about 4 hours. I turned around and there was a group of five people who just started working on it. And we turned around and we're like, hey, we've got to figure it up into this point. Do you guys think that, you know, we can get, and they're like, yeah, come on. And so we actually ended up, you know, meeting those guys, hanging out with them. We figured out the hack, figured out the puzzle. And it was just a really great experience. And we met them and we exchanged, you know, contact information. And again, it's just getting involved and putting yourself out there and meeting people in the, you know, and actually, you know, doing the things in the conference, right? So actually going to the talks, actually engaging in the talks, asking questions, thinking about doing your own talk for next year. That's huge too, you know, actually participating in these. Submit a paper to ISACA, you know, let us know what you're working on. Let us know if there's anything that you want to talk about it, you know, or share with the community, and submit it to our team and they'll review it. I think that's a big part of it, Frank. Go ahead.
And we love getting those submissions because a lot of them really are just great stuff. And they lead to some pretty exciting and engaging dialogue. So please apply. Please apply.
There you go. So that's it. That's my big, you know, you get out what you put into it. So, so that was set by Dustin Brewer, 2019.
And you'll make lifelong friends, which it's one of the weirder places you'll meet people. But I know one guy I met at a conference years and years and years ago, and we still talk regularly.
Thanks, Frank and Dustin. And that's all we have time for in this episode of the ISACA podcast. But if you want to catch Frank and Dustin's monthly podcast, be sure to subscribe and leave us a review.